Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Kelly Harris. I'd like to welcome you all for calling in, walking in the footsteps of Jesus Ministries. And for those of you who are downloading or listening to this program later, I welcome you as well. Please turn with me now to John, the 17th chapter, and we'll read verses 1 through 26. And before we begin, let us all pray, Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that your servant will do your will tonight and preach your word, that the words that come out of my mouth will be your word, Lord Jesus Christ, and not my own, Lord. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. What we're going to be reading tonight, my friend, is a prayer that Jesus did for his disciples. You could also say this is a prayer he was telling to you and me. He's praying for you and me, for those who would believe in him through the words that the disciples preached all over the world, of the known world at the time, which the ministry continues going on to this day and keeps on spreading around the world. This is the prayer he prays for you and I as he was sitting at the Passover meal. Let us all begin, and let us all read together, my friend. When Jesus said this, he raised his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Give glory to your Son, that your Son may glorify you, just as you gave him authority over all people, so that he may give eternal life to all you give him. Now, this is eternal life, that they should know you, the only true God, the one who you sent, Jesus Christ. I glorified you on earth by accomplishing the work that you gave me to do. Now glorify me, Father, with you, glory that I had with you before the world began. I revealed your name to those whom you gave me out of the world. They belong to you, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you gave me is from you, because the word you gave to me I have given to them, and they accepted that and truly understood that I came from you, that they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those given me, because they are yours, and everything is of mine is yours, and everything of yours is mine. I have been glorified in them, and now I will no longer be in the world, but they are in the world. For I am coming to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, that you may get, that you may have given me, so they may be just, that they may be one, just as we are. When I was with them, I protected them in your name, and that you gave me, and I guarded them, and some of them was lost, except the son of destruction, in order that scriptures might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you. I speak this in the world so that they may share my joy completely. I give them your word and the word and the word. I give them to the world. I give them the world. The word. And the world hated them because they do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but you keep them from evil, from the evil one. They do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. Consecrate them in the truth. Your word is the truth. As you sent me into the world, so I send them into the world. And I consecrate myself for them, so they also may be consecrated for the truth. I pray not only for them, but also for those who believe in me through their word, so they may all be one as you, Father, in me, and I in you, that they may be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And I have given them the glory you have gave me, so they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be brought to perfection as one, that the world may know that you sent me, and that you love them, even as you love me. Father, they are your gift to me. I wish that where I am, they also may be with me, that they may see my glory that you gave me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world also does not know you, but I know you, and they know you, and they know that you sent me. I made them known to your name, and I will make it known that the love with which you love me may be there in them, and I in them. Wow. You see that, my friends? Right there. What happened? Jesus also was praying for you and not me in this scripture. When he said, let's see, go back to that verse. Verse 20. I pray not only for them, but also for those who believe in me through their word. So through them, through their word, just think about it, my friend, who he was praying for you and me who believe in Christ Jesus, who spread his word. Think about it. The disciples, on the day of Pentecost, began spreading the name of Jesus Christ to the known world at that time, and it spread. Spread so much, even Paul, of course, he met Jesus at the road of Damascus, but Christ was even praying for him at that time as well. And think about it. He prayed for the Puritans who came to the Americas, who would declare America a godly nation. People who came to America for religious reasons, to escape being persecuted for following the Lord Jesus Christ, came here and built a foundation. And how did the United States of America repay the world? By sending out their missionaries to the world and spread the Lord Jesus Christ's gospel to the world. We could honestly say in the United States, we have never had a shooting war over Jesus Christ as it happened in Europe during the Middle Ages, when the people did not know the word of God, but they knew who Jesus, they heard of Jesus, and they thought they knew Jesus, but the Catholic Church at that time was not teaching them anything about Jesus, nor his word. They got caught up in their own religion and began acting like the Sanhedrin were doing during the time of Jesus. Now, to this day, we have the right to read the scripture of Jesus Christ. We understand his word. And for us to believe in him, do we keep his word to ourselves? Do we be shy and not say a word to anyone else about him? Of course not. We go out there in the world. We talk to people about our Lord Jesus Christ. We talk about his love. We talk about his reaching out for people to repent of their sins, to know their Lord. I've often said, if you want to know the God of the Old Testament, begin reading the four Gospels before you read the Old Testament, and you understand God's love for the world. You understand when you read what the apostles had written. You understand the Lord much better than you can read the Old Testament. But remember, we are under a new covenant now. Before Christ died upon the cross, mankind was separated from the world. And the only covenant he had was with the children of Israel. Just because we have a new covenant now does not mean we, who are not born into the Jewish faith by blood, this does not mean we act anti-Semitic. Not at all. Christ did not reject the Jews. He never said he was rejecting the Jews. In fact, what it says throughout Scripture was the gospel is for them, and the gospel is for the Gentiles. The Lord's Spirit is now coming upon all the flesh of men. It's upon Jews, it's upon Gentiles, and whoever receives Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior will feel his fire of forgiveness coming upon them and the cleanliness of sin coming upon them. Away from them is the cleanliness of repentance. You'll be clean forever. No more sin will be in your life because you are not controlled by that old life anymore. You are now controlled by the Holy Spirit who is guiding you, who is guiding you to grow in the Lord. Think about this, my friend. When you are baptized, when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you have the Holy Spirit living within you, not only do you have the Holy Spirit living within you, you have Christ living within you. And not only do you have Christ living within you, you have God, the Father, living within you, because they're all one. And so, as Jesus said to his Father, as he and his Father is one, you and I are one right now with the Father. That is why Jesus, when he looks down upon the earth, when the Father of heaven looks down upon the earth, he sees Jesus in you because he is in you. He sees himself in you. He sees the Holy Spirit within you. Because right there, you have him living within you. So, you are doing the work that our Lord Jesus Christ wanted us to do. During the Last Supper meal, he prayed for you. He prayed not only for his disciples, but for everyone who heard his word, which means we go out there and preach the word ourselves and bring others to the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't run away from it. We don't shy away from it. We embrace it. When we go out there and we teach those about Jesus Christ, we do not run away from it, for the Lord Jesus Christ is with us because he lives within us. That's why it's a shame for anyone who would backslide. Why would you give up the Holy Spirit living within you? You remember how it felt when you felt his Spirit coming within you, how clean you felt, how you felt that you was now a new person. Why now would you give it all up by telling God to depart from me? And if you want God to depart from you, he will do so. He's not going to force himself upon you, or he didn't force himself upon you when you accepted him. And if you reject him, that is a sad thing to happen. Why would you want to do that? To reject the Creator of all creation who showed mercy upon you, put judgment upon himself by sacrificing himself for sin. Remember, the first time God showed judgment upon the world, he flooded the world with water. And the reason why we human beings still exist is because Noah was the only man who was walking with the Lord. He only found one man, and he spared him death. He let him live. But we know the second time he would sacrifice himself, becoming a man himself, our Lord, by sacrificing himself upon the cross for sin, the sin that took him all the way back to Adam and Eve when both of them sinned. Adam was told one thing not to do, one commandment. Don't eat out of the tree. One little commandment. And he couldn't keep it. And you think about it, Adam must have, when Adam grew older, what he must have thought. He saw one son murder another. And he had to have known if he hadn't have bitten into that fruit, that never would have happened, because his selfish nature would not have been upon that son that killed the other son. And as generations grew and he saw all his grandchildren grow up and great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren, as the world populated, he saw the evil they did. And you know, he must have thought, if only if I could go back in time, if only if I would have just refused to eat that fruit and told Satan to get out of here, none of this would be happening. But it didn't happen that way. So, God, who is very, very, very merciful, because he is our Father, showed mercy on the just and the unjust. But becoming a man who is going to reveal who the Father in heaven was and let these enemies put him on a cross and sacrifice him so he would die for our sins, so we can have communion. He brought but what Adam had with God, that spiritual connection back to man. And here we are. We have a spiritual connection. So never take our Lord Jesus Christ's words for granted. These words we read from Scripture, they are live words. These are words of truth. And these are words of how we could come home to our Father. Our Father's been reaching out for us before we even knew who he was. Before we was ever born, he was reaching out for us. He knew we would have our struggles. He knew we would walk in our sinful darkness. But in that darkness, he saw a light in us. And he's telling us, come home, son. Come home, daughter. Come to me. Pardon me, and I will give you rest. I will clean the sins away, and I will see those sins no more, because you are now a new person. You let me wash you clean and mold you into the person I wanted you to be. Go out there and be fishers of men. Go out there and bring my word to people who do not know me. Come, go out there and go. And go we have to. The Lord Jesus Christ's words, because he appointed these disciples and apostles to go out there and preach the word, has reached all over the world. It's in the jungles of Brazil, the word of Jesus Christ. It's in the jungles of the Philippines, the Lord Jesus Christ's words. It's everywhere you can go in the world. The Lord Jesus Christ's word is being taught people out there in those areas and countries you may not have even heard of before. But people have heard the Lord Jesus Christ, and they know him, and they have faith in him, and they know his promises will come true, because through Jesus Christ, that is how we know the Father's heart. And turn with me now, my friends, as we continue on with our study. Let us now turn to Luke. Let's turn to Luke, the 22nd chapter, and read verses 39-46. And this is where, after they ate their Passover meal, they came into the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus brought the disciple leadership with him, prayed on his own to the Heavenly Father. And in this chapter, we will read now. Then, going out, he went, as he was accustomed, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he arrived in the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not undergo the test." After withdrawing about a stone throw from them and kneeling, he prayed, saying, "Father, if you are willing to take this cup from me, still not my will, but yours be done." To strengthen him, an angel from heaven appeared to him. He was in such agony, and he prayed so fervently that his sweat became like blood falling on the ground. When he arose from prayer and returned to his disciples, he found them sleeping from grief. He said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not undergo the test." Right here, Jesus, he's saying now that if you do get really upset, that it can make someone's sweat look like blood, and it could actually cause someone to die. Right here in that verse we just read, Jesus was close to death right there on the spot. And some smart aleck may say, "Well, if he was God, why was he so afraid of dying? Was he afraid of the unknown?" Jesus knew the unknown. Setting him, for the first time, he was going to be separated from the Father in heaven. And you know why? Because of what I did. Because of what you did, because of what people did before we were born did, because of what Adam did, and Eve did. Sin. Adam drank the cup gladly, and he bit into the fruit. And was selfish, was he not now? But Jesus, he knew what the cup meant. He meant he would have to go through this and be punished for something he never did. He was going to take upon the sins of the world. He was going to be separated from the Father. Remember, Adam was separated from the Father when he bit into the fruit. But Jesus, he didn't do anything wrong. But because of what Adam did, he was being punished for what Adam did. He was being punished for what you did. He was being punished for what I did. And here, he was going to take this cup and drink it. And if you know, if he would decide he did not want to do it, the Father in heaven would have allowed him to do it. because he said, take this cup before me, but what he said also was, but not by my will, but your will. And he went ahead and followed the Father's will. What we have here, my friends, is that we who believe in Jesus Christ should never take what Jesus did like a grain of salt. We should not treat it as a story. Say, well, I've heard this story before. Oh, yes, he was crucified. He rose in 3 days. I mean, I promise he'll come back. Very disrespectful right there to even have that kind of attitude. The fact of it is, think about what he did. Because of your own transgressions, he was going to separate himself from the Father by taking upon your sin. Because of what you did, he was going to die for you. And he did it out of love. He did it out of love. So you wouldn't have to pay that price of darkness forever. Without Christ Jesus, my friend, you and I would be pagan. You have no idea what kind of person you would be without him. You might be the most miserable person the world has ever seen. Instead of someone, when they look at you, they see Christ within you, who shows joy to others, who goes out there and preaches the gospel to others. Think about it. If not for Jesus, you would be someone totally different. And if you were totally different before, you know what kind of person you would be. You would be a most miserable wretch, but you're not now. But through Christ, there is freedom. Through Jesus Christ, freedom is for you and I. And we're free from the chains of sin. That's why it's always a mistake when a church and a pastor tells a congregation, oh, you just can't help it. You just can't help it but to sin. You know what that pastor's telling you and I? We're not free. And Jesus is a liar. He didn't free us from our sins on that cross. So that means that pastor's putting you and I under an Old Testament covenant. We might as well find ourselves a goat and sacrifice a goat, and hopefully that'll wash us of our sins and we're in a year to do it again. Now, I'm not going out there telling you all to do that. I mean, I'm being sarcastic. But we don't have to do that anymore. That is not for us to do because Jesus paid the price. We don't have to every year of your sin offering. And you know what, my friends? Do not believe someone who tells you that you cannot help it but sin. Because once you accept Christ Jesus as your Savior, you're free. You're free from sin. No more. All those chains are upon your neck. No more are you that person whom you once were. Pornography. You are free. You don't have to look at that pornography again. If you are addicted to alcohol, you're not a drunk no more. You don't need to drink it again. Or drugs. You don't have to be all these things that kept you miserable, that kept you away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Because now you are free and you have God fully living within you right now. Heaven is living within you because what is heaven? It is the Lord. When wherever the Lord is, heaven follows him. So the Lord Jesus Christ is in you. And so is heaven. Heaven is wherever you are living, wherever you bring upon this world. It is you to the Lord, about the Lord. Think about it, my friend. You don't have to fall away from the Lord. You don't have to sin. When you were sinners, That was your nature, was it not? Now, before you knew the Lord Jesus Christ, your nature was to sin. You were sort of like an animal. An animal lives by its own instincts, and they do what the animal what an animal does. Well, a human being does the same thing without the Lord Jesus Christ. They live by the instinct. And what is sin? Sin is to be selfish, to do things you want to do, to think of yourself, to think you're the most important person in the world, where there's how many people living on the world, but you're the most important person. Think about it. If man did not follow their own desires, there'd be no wars. There would be no one going to prison because the prisons would be very empty. Because why would you want to go to prison for? Most people who commit crimes don't. That's why they try to find every way to lie about trying not to go to jail. No one wants to go to jail. Jail's not fun. That's why no one wants to go there. But again, we would have no prison. Marriages would not break up. Et cetera. You know what I mean? Because the sinful nature of a human being is right there, because a human being will always think of themselves. But when you have Christ living within you, who's your main focus? Jesus. Why? Because you understand he paid that price for you, and he's cleaning you up. And you get a whole new view of the world, because now you're seeing the world through God's eyes, and you see people out there who need to hear his word. You see people out there who are hungry for his word but don't know him. You see people who are being taught around doctrine by inside a church when they're being told we can't help but sin. That is a wrong doctrine right there, and you see it. So you're out there trying to bring them the real news because it's right here in the Bible. And that backs you up. That backs you up from anyone, from someone who never heard of the Lord or someone who claims who does, who might be a pastor, who went to 3 theologian school, who's telling his congregation, you can't help but sin. But yet, when you read Scripture, the apostles tell you and I a different story. They say you cannot live by the flesh and say you know him. You have to live by the Spirit, because if the Spirit of God is living by you, in you, you do not want to sin. So therefore, you're not being a selfish person anymore, living in the nature that you were born in. Now you are living in the nature of being born again. And born again means you're living for God, and you're doing things that God does. You're doing the things that your Father in heaven does, because you're seeing the world through his eyes. Your heart is like his heart, because it is his heart now. And now you're seeing things clearly, and you're doing things clearly now through the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not doing things for your own benefit. You're doing things for the Lord's benefit. You're doing things to bring his children home to him, so they won't be separated from him no longer, so they too can receive and walk and receive his blessings and walk in their Father's home right here upon the earth. Amen? Amen. The fact of it is, my friends, we got a great covenant here when the Lord put his soul, his spirit, upon all men who believe. Because we are no longer slaves. And if Satan says, well, you better watch out, if I whisper in your ear, you're going to fall, you don't have to worry about falling. Satan cannot take away your blessing. He cannot steal it away from you. unless you give it up. And why would you want to give it up? The world offers you nothing. The world offers you selfishness. The world offers you things that make you miserable. Why do you want to be miserable? It's best to walk with your father and be happy. And my friend, I often said what the church needs to do when someone comes to Christ is have a mentor for them and teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ further and how to walk with Christ. Talking about sitting them down and telling them the history of your denomination. No. You start doing that, that's not going to bring them closer to Jesus Christ. They know a history of your denomination. Chuck that paper out the door, grab your Bible, open up the book of Acts, and now teach them, because they already know Jesus through the four Gospels. Now open up the book of Acts and go down through what the apostles taught and teach you about how to live for Christ, how to be pleasing to our Lord, our God, who is our Father. That is what we do to help them grow. Amen? Amen. Because, my friend, Jesus paid a high price for you and I 2,000 years ago. And to think that we, saying failure believers, know better than him, well, that is a joke. Our Lord knows what he's talking about. He knows what he's doing. So pay attention and listen. Don't do things on your own. Be the child he wants you to be. Think he meant when he told you and I to be perfect, like our Father in heaven is perfect. And that's what we strive to be, is perfect. And that's what we live for today and age, is to be perfect, like our Heavenly Father is perfect. We don't go around trying to go into knowing Jesus. We want people to understand him, to come on their own. And that's what we want. But for those out there who are being fooled and thinking that I'm going to go back to my old ways, well, think about this for a moment, my friend, before you make that decision. Do you really want to go back to your old life? Did it make you happy? Perhaps you may feel like going back because some church member said something to you that you thought was insulting. I don't know what it could be, but the fact of it is, we know in Scripture it tells us what to do when someone insults us. We go over there and we talk to them about it. Perhaps if they did not know they insulted you. Ask for forgiveness. And think of it is, forgive one another. Love one another. That is what it is to be one with our Heavenly Father. It's for us to love one another, not fight with one another. Love one another. Treat each other with dignity and respect. Don't behind your brother or sister's back and try to ruin the reputation in the darkness and say that you're a follower of Jesus Christ, because if you try to destroy someone's reputation, you are not a follower of Jesus Christ. You're on your own. You're a follower of yourself, and you're following your own sinful desires. But to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you don't think of yourself, eyes, and your heart, your soul, and spirit. They're now God's now. They're your Father's now. And what you see is what he sees. And what you do in this world is what he does in this world. So go out there and be like your Father in heaven is right now. be like that and bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ and tell people the truth. Fall away. Even when tough times happen, remember, Jesus has the toughest time of all of us, because he was going to pay the price for our sins by being separated from the Heavenly Father for the first time in his whole existence. Imagine that. And he was going to do it because of mine, yours, and many other people throughout the past and present, whose selfish behavior caused him to die for our sins so we could be free. And as I said before, he did it out of love. The love for you and me. When he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, he was thinking about you. He was talking about me. He was talking about my next door neighbor. He was talking about anyone out there in the world, because he wanted them to be with them, with him, and be one with him and the Father. So let us be one church, and let us treat each other the way the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to treat each other. Go out there and love one another. Bring the good news about Jesus Christ to the world. Show his mercy to those who need mercy. Put hands on those who need healing. Teach those who do not know the Lord's word too well. Be their teacher and teach them. Go out there and prophesy. Go out there and show the world that the Lord is out there. And he wants them to be part of his family. Go out there. Bring them home. Bring them home. Be fishers of men and bring them home. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for tonight. And we pray for whoever listens to this message tonight will come home and be yours, Lord, because you called them and their hearts began for a long time. Let it now be that this time that they give in and let their hearts come to you, so you will be one, and we can all be one with them, because through you, Lord Jesus Christ, with your Spirit within us, we are all one together, Lord, and I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 My friends, I'd like to thank you all for listening to this program. I hope either that you've been filled with the Holy Spirit more so and by listening to this word, and if you feel like you want to come to Christ, and if you have come to Christ, accept him as your Lord and Savior, and find a church that is pure gospel, that believes in what is written by the apostles, and go to that church and follow the Lord Jesus Christ in that church, and meet your new family and be one with them. Say this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Have a good evening, my friends, until we meet the next time on this program. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless your life. And I say this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.